Good morning. Welcome to Better Next Door. I'm your host, Randy Baxter, and we've got a great show for you planned today. We've got four veterans here with us, Mr. Ed Janod, Robert Cooter, Adam Deffinger. Is that right, Deffinger?
It's Deffinger.
Deffinger, okay. And Donald Davis, two Vietnam veterans and
Desert Storm.
OIF and OEF.
Okay.
Operation Iraqi Freedom and Operation Enduring Freedom.
Okay. And me, a non-veteran.
But a great advocate for veterans.
Well, I appreciate that. The topic of the show, we're going to be talking about some of the problems that veterans are facing when they come home. And to lead off, before we do the national anthem, I want to tell you a story real quick. I used to go to a movie theater and watch black and white war movies left and right. And one of my favorite was called Battleground. And in Battleground, at the end, they were in the Battle of the Bulge, and they fought, and their buddies were killed and wounded. At the end, they were all beat up and tired. And they were sitting there chewing tobacco and talking about wanting to go home and everything. And then they see these other soldiers coming around. All of a sudden, the sergeant jumps up and says, "Let's look first class." They're all beat up and wrapped up and everything. And he ordered them to get to attention and to march in front of these other soldiers coming on. At the end of the movie, and when I saw it, I was probably 9 or 10 years old. It never crossed my mind that those guys, those 14 or 15 survivors of that battle, as they were marching off in their finest appearance, although they were dirty and wounded and beat up, I thought they just went home and it was happily ever after. I'm a kid, you know, and I'm watching a war movie. So, so the heroes go home, and then it never crossed my mind what their lives were after that. And I think that's sort of an introduction to what our topic might be today.
Oh,
so anyway, before we get started, though, let's listen to the national anthem.
That was a great move there, Adam. I've been on this show for 3 years or so, and every time we did specialty shows, every time you play the Star Spangled Banner, and this is why we need these guys. This is the first time that we stood up and saluted, and thank you, Adam. That was you. You were the first one to do it on a show. So
great, you know.
That's the first time it's happened since I've been doing the show.
Yeah, and I will tell you that I did this show for 4 years without ever playing the national anthem until I met a World War II veteran up in Kentucky who was at the Battle of the Bulge and jumped into a foxhole. It's full of ice and snow, and he broke through the ice and landed in about 20 inches of water.
Ooh, that's got to be cold.
And he couldn't get out of that foxhole for almost 24 hours because every time he popped his head up, somebody tried to take it off. A German sniper was after him, so he had to lay low. So he finally dug a hole sideways into his foxhole and stuck his cold, wet legs in that hole. And when I went to visit him up at the nursing home, the skin where he had been frostbitten that night was starting to erode away from his muscles. And he was wrapped up like a mummy. And his son looked at me and he said, "You know what my dad wants more than anything?" And I said, "What?" And he said, "He wants you to start playing the national anthem on your song. I mean, on your show." And I said, "Fine." And we started playing it ever since. Wow. But anyway, that man is still with us. And his mission in life, I asked him, I said, "What do you want to do on this radio interview?" And he said, "Well, there's one thing I've always wanted to do on the radio." And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "I've always wanted to sing." And I whipped out my tape recorder and laid it right down there. And I said, "Sing away, buddy." And he sang two patriotic World War II songs, and very happy. But we've played the national anthem ever since. And we've also done the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we've always done a prayer, and one thing, I use this same prayer a lot because I think it fits you guys and all the soldiers that I've met, all the veterans that I've met, but I don't always use it, but I do use this prayer a lot. So let's go ahead and listen to it.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us this day to remember the brave ones who have protected us. And Lord, we thank you for those who have given their lives for our country and for countries around the world. We ask for your loving protection over those who are overseas. We ask for your protection for those who have finished their service and are here amongst us. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the brave souls who will fight for the rights of our country. We ask that you bless this presentation this morning and that you be here amongst us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
So we're going to be talking in this first segment. And I asked the gentleman that are with me right before the show started if you could have anything you wanted at the end of the show. It seemed like consensus was that we need more veterans to communicate with other veterans.
We need more veterans to understand. Just like you, Adam, and Robert, don't wait as long as you and Don. We waited almost 50 years to get help. And I look at you in the eye all the time, Adam, say, don't be like me.
Okay, we're gonna define what that means here in just a minute, because most of us, was it only 7% of the American population serves in the military?
6%.
So the majority of us don't know that you do have after feelings when you come home from serving in the military, and we're not aware that those feelings begin to take their toll. I guess, is that correct? I mean,
well, there's a reason they call it post-traumatic stress, because the majority doesn't happen when you come home right away.
Okay.
And there's a reason, and sometimes, how long did it take you, Robert?
17, 18 years.
And you keep talking about something that took me a while to comprehend, a wave. What's the wave?
After every war or major conflict since the Civil War, you mentioned the 6%. After the conflicts, and it takes about 6 to 12 years after the conflict, the population, the prison population for veterans, right now it used to be 9%. What historically has happened, it more than doubles after 6 to 12 years after the conflict, and we're way into the middle. It's expected to go from 9% where it's at right now to 23%. We teach police officers and we find out, and when we ask a question, do you see increased incident rates? Are you arresting more veterans?
Okay. So this wave, well, we need to talk about the wave here in just a second. Okay. Just like to announce real quick, not this coming weekend, but the next weekend marks the 6th year anniversary of this show.
Wow.
So we will have done over 350 individual shows and about 500 total shows.
And we've been with you for almost 3.5 years.
About 3 years, that's right. The reason I said that, because I used to just tell stories, and I still do on Saturdays, but about 3 years ago, I became aware of a couple of groups. One was the Legacy Peer Support Group. The other one was the Knoxville Region's Veterans Mental Health Council. Another group called Vet to Vet.
Tennessee.
So are you guys all members of all three of those?
Yep.
Yes.
Yes, okay. We are.
And I'm a member of the Knoxville Regional Veterans Mental Health Council, and I have served more as an observer than as a participant. Just time won't let me get in and do a lot of things that you all do. And I'm sometimes very, very surprised at what you do. You mentioned it during the break. We have a problem called the wave.
Yep.
And it's compounded by the fact that all the soldiers came home from Iraq and Afghanistan, had to make new adjustments, and that's even compounded more by the fact that we're doing the troop reduction. So a lot of soldiers are being forced back into the civilian mode, and not all of them are ready. Is that correct?
Yeah. Found these statistics on Army OneSource last week. 2.6 million veterans served in Iraq and Afghanistan. 48% served multiple deployments, and 50% were parents. So I was really surprised to see how high that was. Everybody knows that we have 22 suicides a day. Well, February 27th, Robert, one of our own, Matt Liner, he did three tours?
I'm not sure.
Two or three tours? He's an Army Ranger, and he commits suicide on February 27th, 2015. And we honor him and T.J. Jones when we do our police officer training. And we know that the 22 a day is way low. According to Army OneSource, in the last year, the Army suicide rate went up 15%. And Adam, Marines usually take longer to come in. and aren't we seeing more and more Marines coming in?
Yes, we are. The rate of Marines that I've seen just in the local area have increased a lot.
Well, according to Army OneSource, they increased 28% in 1 year. So with a 15% on one side, 28% on the Marines, what the heck is the suicide rate now? And that's alarming. What we're seeing is we have the wave. I mean, we're getting hit every which way.
So, Ed, you talk about the wave and, you know, these veteran suicides. Some of the other groups that I follow on Facebook and whatnot, there isn't a day that doesn't go by where I'm not reading about somebody lost their battle with PTSD, you know, and is no longer with us. And every brother we lose hurts, you know, because I think about it. I've lost a very close brother, Gregory Mock. You know, I went through a program with him.
Lexington?
Up in Lexington. And anything I could have done to get him out of that mode or to have him stop and think about what he was doing, to kind of hang in there and just keep going with the rest of the world and, you know, get him involved in a veterans group. Like, me showing up to this group actually started helping me. You know, I was very shut in.
Well, I didn't think you were shut in when you came in. You were pretty loud. But listen, we got Brent. I'd like to talk about him. Each one of you are facilitators in our Vet to Vet Tennessee and our Legacy Peer Support Group. And one of the hardest ones we had to deal with, well, actually it was Matt, because we couldn't help him, was Brent. It took us 19 months. How many times did he attempt suicide? 19 months.
Oh, he was miserable. He just wanted some help, and it was like, I find it funny that they say that there are benefits, but, you know, when you go through the VA, it's like you have to prove it.
Right.
I mean, I already have on my DD-214 combat action in Iraq. I already have on my DD-214 combat action ribbon Afghanistan. I mean, what more do I need to prove for my own benefits?
You know? We were talking to Brent about a possible, it's a brand new, just popped in my head when you said it, Adam. It's called transcranial magnetic stimulation. It's one of the most successful programs for depression. If you remember, we were over at VTC office and we were talking, hey, maybe you should go get it. And he went, I can't. I got all the shrapnel in his head and all over. We had to stick with him for 19 months. The VA can't do that.
Oh, no.
And that's every day, right? We have to text him. We have to go to his house. We have to call him up.
Yeah, there's so much effort that needs to be put forth to our veterans, you know, not just us as a group. You know, this is why we want to bring everybody in so we can say, hey, you're not alone. You're not the only one going through this. Yes, it takes time. The VA is going to take their slow time because it's what they do.
It's what they do, right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys a question. When you say veterans, it's not all-inclusive. I mean, how do you...
It is all-inclusive. You know, we started out as a mental health council, but we do just about anything, whether it's suicide prevention, homelessness, helping with a funeral.
Yeah, and I know that, Ed, but I'm talking about the individual veteran. You know, when does a veteran, or how does he know that if... if he's having issues? And I'd like to each one of you, just you know, Donna, I'll start with you real quick, maybe. Well, you know, how do you know when to seek help?
You don't.
After, I'll say this, after 45 years, I felt like a knot, and I didn't have any control over myself and my body. And you wonder why you're that way. And there's a lot of triggers. Your wife will tell you that something's wrong. You got your friend, family. You cannot communicate with peers that you work with because they're afraid of you because of the way you talk and your way of manner. So you, a lot of the vets turn right around and they use what we call work. In other words, they work themselves to death. That's just about what I did. And if you don't receive help and try to get what your problem is, your life is dramatically ruined. In other words, you lose your kids, you love, you lose everything. And it's a struggle to go up. I'm fortunate that I got a beautiful wife that has stuck with me for 45 years. We have worked things out. I eager that anybody out there that's listening to this that is a vet, come in, talk to us, get some help. Please, I don't want you to suffer the way I have.